Dawn is calling us. Go ahead, Dawn.
Hi, Stephen. I'm just furious listening to Alistair Ross, that they clearly hadn't a clue and clearly hadn't a clue when they were saying leave the EU about the desperate state it will leave Northern Ireland in, and Northern Ireland will lose all the opportunities and advantages and funding that it has with the 27 other member states of the EU. And it's just so sad to hear this because...
Why aren't you optimistic about them saying that they can get more flexibility now?
It doesn't mean anything. It means... I don't think they've ever actually understood what membership of the EU has meant, other than the billions that have come to Northern Ireland and that Northern Ireland has depended on. All they can say is opportunities, and it's just a disaster. And I just feel really badly, especially for our young generation, who all of their opportunities and chances to live, work, study in the 27 other member states of the EU.
They would say, Dawn, we've got sovereignty back.
Sovereignty never went away, and they know that. They know that. They just came out with the stupid UKIP lines that we heard non-stop, get our country back, take back control. The UK makes its own laws. They know that, and they're involved in that as MPs in Westminster, and that will continue. EU regulations and legislation gives rights and protection to workers and people in every single area, including the agri-food sector.
The DUP, Dawn, is now saying the absence of EU programmes in the future is of real concern to a range of sectors.
Well, of course, it's a real concern, and that's always been the case. And why didn't they talk about those when they were going out there telling everybody to vote leave, clearly not having a clue that, first of all, it would actually happen, and secondly, what it would mean? And now all we hear is, well, we put out the begging bowl and ask for the $3.5 billion plus a year from the UK government. It's not going to happen, and it's not just about getting money. It's about peace funding and the infrastructure and movement throughout the EU and our health cards and our protections when we all travel to those other countries.
What have you made of the DUP's response on this programme this morning?
That's why I phoned. It's just nonsense. And it's really irresponsible as well. It's time they stood up and spoke facts and really truth to people who, you know, listen to them and may take notice of what they're actually saying.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just, it's too serious to be just messing around and going, look at all the other opportunities we have. We'll be able to trade with Albania and South Africa. Great.
Dawn, thank you. I'm going to speak to the commentators Alex Kane and Malachy O'Doherty in just 1 second. Nigel in Belfast. Morning, Nigel.
Hi, Stephen. Just 2 points. Well, maybe the first point is, if I was a Brexiteer, none of them believed it was going to happen. So why would you waste hours and hours and hours developing detailed policies before something didn't think was going to happen? So that's the first point.
Did you get a sense from Alistair Ross's interview with me today that the DUP have detailed policies around this?
Alistair seems like a sensible, nice guy, but I mean, no, it was embarrassing. I mean, the best thing for Alistair to say would be to say, no, sorry, we haven't. But that's for Alistair to decide. We're 2% or less than 2% of the UK. You know, the UK will decide what happens here. Agriculture is not that important for the rest of the UK. They're not going to create policies for the whole of the UK based on what's good for us. The money will probably end up going to northern cities in England. And you know what? That's maybe not a morally bad decision. They're there for a place that they need more money. But for Northern Ireland, that's maybe not the best thing. And the second thing, the unskilled labour. I mean, that was a central point of the whole Leave campaign.
That's why I spent so much time with Alistair Ross on that today. Immigration was such a massive point in the whole discussion, debate and influencing of which way people voted.
You're absolutely right. And that was absolutely... It was nothing about benefits. It was about unskilled labour coming here, and the theory was driving down the wages of local you know, Indigenous workers, you know, making it impossible for them to get off benefits and get on to those kind of jobs. So it was actually mostly the whole migration debate was about unskilled labour. That was the central point about their debate.
Thank you, Nigel. 030-30-80-55-55. The commentator is Alex Kane. Morning, Alex.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, I'm Malachy O'Doherty. Morning, Malachy.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, Alex.
This is big stuff, this. This is massive stuff because the survival, the prosperity of our economy is so important in Northern Ireland. We get that. We understand how that feeds into the mood of a country, how that feeds into ordinary livelihoods, what's on your plate at dinner time, whether you can send your kid to to school or not and fund them, how much money you have in your wage packet at the end of the week, whether your farm in Northern Ireland is going to survive or not. All of these issues are wrapped up in this, Alex. What do you make of the DUP and Sinn Féin? But Sinn Féin are parked in the discussion today because they campaigned for Europe, didn't they?
They did.
What do you make of this letter by Arlene Foster?
Well, let's say that one thing I want to say, Stephen, because I said it on your programme two or three times before the referendum itself. I said that I accepted where the Democratic Unionist Party were for their own reasons, taking a we want to leave, and I accepted that. I think there were many of them that were genuine about it. It was clear some internal differences. But my suspicion always was, and I said it in your programme, if it was a vote, a UK vote to remain, the DUP would quite happily heave a sigh of relief, wipe their brow, and move on as if nothing had happened. The big shock for the DUP, as it was for others, was that the United Kingdom voted to leave. That gave huge problems in Northern Ireland in particular, and that's what this letter highlights. This letter, all those things, and a number of your contributors said this morning, a number of people during the past few months have said it on your programme, all these problems existed before June the 23rd, and the DUP did very little to address them. And what we have now is Alistair Ross, and bless him, I mean, it's not often I feel sorry for people, Stephen, but I felt sorry for him this morning, this definition of flexible. Because I suspect if you read that letter carefully, if you listen to some of the other things that have been said, the definition of flexible is basically going to mean, to all intents and purposes, saying, yes, we're out of the European Union, but can we keep the border? Can we keep the funding? Can we keep the access to labour? Can we keep the present ease with which we trade with other EU countries?
It's the DUP now.
It doesn't say trade, ease of trade with the Republic of Ireland. It says ease of trade with other EU countries.
So does the DUP now mean free movement of labour? Any labour?
If they're saying flexible, then yes, that could mean that. This is the whole point. You know, Arlene in an interview this morning said, oh, Brexit means Brexit, which was a Theresa May's point of view. None of us know what that means. She herself has said it's not yours. David Davis, who's the Minister for Brexit, has clear differences between him and Boris Johnson and Liam Fox. No one knows what that means. The Theresa May has already said, oh, I'll take account of what Northern Ireland wants and what Scotland wants before we do anything. Stephen, this is the mess of all this. No one has a clue what's going to happen next.
Maliki?
Yeah, I mean, Arlene, instead of taking the money, opened the box and she still doesn't know what's in the box. But I think it's quite fascinating that we have this letter. I think this letter was written for a reason, and I think there's two reasons behind it. One is it shows for now that Martin McGuinness and Arlene Foster are on the same page. That's quite interesting. The divisions between them emerging over this were huge, and now they've pulled together on something. And they've made a deal with each other, and they've made some kind of negotiation that we haven't seen, but they've come up with a standard position which they're going to hold together. That's quite interesting.
Would Peter Robinson have put his name to a letter like this, Maliki?
Well, no, of course. Well, actually, you know, when you're faced with the reality of the scale of the problem and the damage done, then yes, maybe you would. I mean, Arlene Foster is doing something that maybe I didn't expect her to do, but she's now fighting like a survivor. She now sees the scale of the damage done. She's not going to admit that
she would not admit there's any damage done. She would suggest that Brexit's going to bring prosperity.
I know. She's saying what she has to say, but she's trying to get in on the negotiations that will put this right and claw back as much as possible. And it's very interesting that, you know, she says that the reason they're sending this letter is because Theresa May had intimated that Article 50 would be triggered in the new year. And she'd done that after giving them an assurance that they'd be involved in negotiations. So they're now getting back to her and they're reminding her, you know, that you said we'd be involved in this. And this is what we will want to talk about when we are there.
If you were, let's make this really real, Alex Kane. If you were in the agri-food sector today, if you were a farmer today, and you're listening to this programme this morning, and you hear a letter written by both the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister talking about the possibilities of dangers to their sector because of the potential tariff and non-tariff barriers to trade, which might now arise, would you be putting more investment into your machinery? Would you be hiring more people? Would you be doing the things that we kind of need people to do in Northern Ireland to keep the economy going?
I think what they will be doing, Stephen, is people from all those sectors and the wider business section as well. They'll be reflecting quietly that at least the key to all of this, and Maliki touched upon it earlier, because we now just have a DUP Sinn Féin executive, they cannot be seen to be divided, they cannot be seen to be fractious, they cannot be seen to be doing anything which puts the government in danger and instability and things like that. They needed to be seen to be doing something together. That's exactly what they have done. And I think what they're saying to that wider community, and it goes back to my point that I really, really genuinely think the DUP did not expect this result. So what they're saying is, the Sinn Féin and the DUP, we are the government of Northern Ireland. We will work with Theresa May. We will work with the Welsh and Scottish government. We will work together to ensure that Brexit, yes, Brexit does mean Brexit, but we will work together to ensure that the best interests of Northern Ireland are pursued at the highest level.
And you know there's more. There's
what,
more
that, what, that, what that'll come down to, I don't know, Stephen. I'm simply saying that that's the tactic at the minute.
There's more to this. Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness have been forced to insist that they will be at the talks because Nicola Sturgeon will be there. And Nicola Sturgeon will be at the talks saying, I'm holding the independence card in my hand, and if this doesn't work out to our satisfaction, we're gone. Now, that means that those talks will not just be a discussion about farmers' funding. These discussions will be about the nature of the United Kingdom, not the just relations with the European Union, but relations inside the United Kingdom. Martin McGuinness, the head of the former head of the IRA, and Arlene Foster are going to be sitting at a table with Nicola Sturgeon and Theresa May, and they will be discussing the very nature of the union itself. That's why Arlene Foster has to be there. That is why there's a huge opportunity for Martin McGuinness in there. That's why it's hugely surprising that Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness will be sitting beside each other there. But the big deal here is much, much bigger than funding for farmers. And the big thing that they left out, of course, funding for universities. But the big deal is the nature of the union itself.
Let's see what we're saying this morning. Anne. Morning, Anne.
Good morning. What question? You see all these jobs that everybody's going on about in the agri-food business and other sectors. Who did those jobs before cheap migrant labour arrived in this country?
Well, I did some of them. I picked apples in Loughall.
You know, but in general, seriously, who did those jobs?
Yeah.
And tell me your point, Dan.
Well, the point is, you know, it sounds to me basically like the Sinn Féin is calling the shots here and the DUP has rolled over and is backstabbing the Brexiters again. You know what is going on?
And thank you.
I mean, Brexit, what's the point of voting out if nothing's going to change?
And thank you, Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Yes, I listened to Mr. Ross with amazement, to be honest. He asked him quite a number of times to explain what way they were going to implement this unskilled labour. Now, I have a point. Say, for example, he wants to bring in 500 unskilled labour. First, the minus is, we have to supply homes and we have to give them free medical care. So that's a minus before you start. That's one point. Another point is they're talking about this, the 160 million. Now, our percentage of that, will that be based out, paid out on the Barnett policy? And another point that nobody has brought up, the rest of the United Kingdom will not sit back and let Northern Ireland do what they want to do. Because they'll bring out human rights, and then that'll be the unskilled labour idea scuttled.
Jim, thank you. John in Belfast. We're getting close to the news, John. Morning to you.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, listen to your BBC programme this morning. I would think that the European Union is on the up. The European Union's on the down. Southern Europe is in turmoil. And in 2 years' time, one of our biggest contributors to their fund, Britain, will be leaving. So what happens to the rest of Europe, Ben?
Let me be clear what this programme is trying to do this morning. Now that Arlene Foster has actually put a voice behind that there are real concerns about us leaving Europe insofar as EU funding, that there are real concerns in the agri-food sector, that there are real concerns in a range of sectors, I'm trying to ask what the biggest party in this country, the DUP, what their thought-out, precise, specified policies are to allay those concerns. Surely to goodness, they could not have told people in this country to leave Europe without having put policies in place to provide funding to all of those sectors who trusted them and at the moment get their funding from Europe.
That's exactly what they did.
So I would say again to the DUP and indeed to the First Minister this morning, spell out your thought through policies which meant you had confidence to tell people to vote this country out of Europe. What are they?